Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, going to be sunny, maybe a little bit warmer than yesterday, maybe not as windy as well. High maybe 68 degrees. Temperature-wise, 52 at this hour in Kenosha. It's 53 in Burlington. Milwaukee, 57, and it's 54 in Racine. Village of Wind Point officials asking Racine Unified to make a decision about the former elementary school that has been sitting vacant since last used as a temporary home to Mitchell Elementary School students following a fire at their Drexel Avenue site in 2014, Wind Point Elementary itself having been closed the year before. Village officials who would prefer the building be torn down have voiced their concerns of residents about the care of the property, or lack thereof, which has led to a recent meeting that included School Board President Bob Witke. In a statement, Unified Communications Director Stacy Tapp says the district is working on a plan that considers the cost of environmental abatement and demolition of the building, as well as the selling price of the property, to get a clear picture of the impact on our facility's budget. It goes on to say that options will be given to the board when all the information is available. The Racine School Board's work session last night included some lengthy and sometimes emotional discussion about a code of conduct and ethics statement for district employees, first introduced last month by administration, receiving swift criticism from the teachers for being, among other things, vague. Social media is included in this code of conduct that Chief of Human Resources Julie Landry presented for review, and which she said was on the district website for a month.
Integrity, honesty, high ethical standards, legal standards. I think this document codifies what those expectations are, and good HR policies do just that. It's not vague. It's not left up to interpretation or guess. So when employees get called in for whichever one of these, that employee, you, me, anybody, we're all getting called in for the same type of behavior. It just makes things clear and consistent for the district.
Julie McKenna indicated it's a board policy change that should have received public input.
And so you're taking some of the things that were in the public arena over here and saying, oh, by the way, that's not going to be, you're focusing more just on the administrative. And then now we rolled it out that administrative, we did it under the same policy, we do a 30-day thing. And then, oh, by the way, it's not going to come to the board for a little. It's going to be administration deciding outcome.
Board Vice President Dennis Weiser, a one-time member of the REA, indicated many email responses to the policy from the teachers were geared at political organizing. Board Member Michelle Duco stated, I've worked multiple places, and some of the things I read in there in reference to the policy, I do have a big issue with in defense of our teachers. A resolution creating a commission to study the use of social media by city government okayed by the Kenosha City Council last night, despite a warning from one alderman that the effort might be doomed to failure. Mayor Jen Antaramian indicates his preference would be not to allow comments to be posted on the city-run Facebook page. Alderman Kevin Matheson noted the council passed a resolution over 3 years ago mandating the city use social media, and he said that Facebook does not allow one-way pages. He urged his colleagues to take that language out of the resolution.
I just want to go on the record and make it very crystal clear. Facebook does not allow you to disable comments, period. There's a whereas in here that says the only way it's going to happen if it's one way. So the 16 of you do not want the city to have a... If there's a colleague that wants to explain to me, I'd be really happy to hear your explanation, not voting to get that, to take that whereas out. But you still are going to claim tomorrow that you support social media. Is there anybody that wishes to say anything about that? No.
Mayor Andoramian told Matheson that while one-way page is his preference, it would ultimately be up to the council to decide. The resolution adopted on a vote of 16-1. Pleasant Prairie's Village Board authorizing agreement to enable the sale of about 18 acres at the southwest corner of I-94 and Highway Q to U-Line. Site is just east of the company's current corporate campus. Land was recently dedicated to Pleasant Prairie by its Community Development Authority for facilitating the transaction. Total purchase price is going to be $7.5 million. U-Line has not announced any plans yet for the property. One of the agenda items up for a vote at tonight's Burlington Common Council meeting, an ordinance that would amend park regulations to prohibit the abandonment of any boat or watercraft on the city property. During a committee of the whole discussion about it, the Public Works Director, Jim Burglas, showed aldermen pictures of boats that created what he called a mess on the waterfront.
One thing to note is we give them 24 hours. So in the future, if the city does, as we become part of the historical water trail, this will still allow canoers or kayaks to paddle into our park, They can chain their canoe up, stay the night, and then the next day they can paddle out without being in violation of our ordinance. But as you can see from the current pictures, this is what we're faced with, and this has been a problem for a while.
New Alderman Susan Cott noted that boats left at the waterfront goes back to the old days and included her father. Burgless likened the abandoned boats to junk cars in a front yard, which is an eyesore to a neighborhood and to the community. And take note that the Color Run is coming back to Racine after all. A few months back, it was announced the Color Run would not be returning to Wisconsin this year, but public outcry has led to the event coming back to Racine this September. So participants in the event, of course, are showered with colored powder at various spots along the route. A news release indicates local residents pleaded for the Color Run to return for year number 6. It's been 175 years since the founding of what was Racine Threshing Machine Works in the year 1842 by a man whose name is synonymous with Racine, Wisconsin, Jerome Increase Case. That milestone celebrated at the Mount Pleasant Tractor Plant by company officials, employees, local dignitaries, and special guest House Speaker Paul Ryan. Celebration also had a family connection. Caleb Jerome Case, the great-grandson of the great man himself who lives in Marinette, made a return appearance. K.J. Case had been at the Mount Pleasant site 6 years ago, along with 5 other relatives, for a personal tour of the facility. He told Stories Monday that gave audience members a sense of who J.I. Case was. Speaker Ryan, talking about the Case name recognized all around the world and how some family-supporting jobs, so many of them, have been connected to the company over the decades. The announcement that the Pick and Save grocery store in Kenosha's Brass neighborhood would be closing brought a local activist to last night's city council meeting asking for help. Kroger officials, of course, bought Pick and Save, indicating the decision was made recently because the store was underperforming. One-time Alderman Catherine Marks noted that when the council approved the development of that grocery store at the Brass site, a study indicated the area could support more.
And we found, and I encourage you to go back to that study and look and see that there is actually said that we could support 2 45,000 square foot stores at the time.
She urged the city to work with the neighborhood to find a solution. Afterward, Mayor John Antaramian said the city's already reached out to Kroger and the owner of the building to get some answers. Amendments to the zoning ordinance approved by the Kenosha Council allows location of tattoo businesses in more areas of the city. Businesses previously allowed only in uptown and downtown business districts. A request to locate an establishment outside those two prompting the change. Fairly new nonprofit in Racine called Helmets to Heal started up last year by former Horlick High School assistant football coach Kyle Oppenheimer. His efforts geared at reducing the risk of concussions in football, and to that end, S.C. Johnson has made a $7,500 donation. The money, providing 26 energy-absorbing football helmets to Racine Youth Sports, and the purchase of what are called King Devic tests. It's a sideline concussion screening protocol for kids as young as 5 years old. And the annual torch run for Special Olympics in Wisconsin got started yesterday evening in Kenosha County. Kenosha Police Detective Jason Kennedy is the local chair for the torch run, indicating that the event serves a couple of purposes, in that it's to raise funding and awareness for the games themselves.
It's a fundraiser as well. It culminates in on Thursday, the opening ceremonies for the state summer track and field games for Special Olympic athletes is the kickoff for that, and this is kind of, you know, gearing up towards that, so it's a pre-event for that race.
He noted there were more than 24 runners, about 10 on bicycles, and even a boy on a Razor scooter competing in the 5.5-mile course from downtown's Law Enforcement Memorial to the Summers Fire Department. The torch run moving to Racine later today, the course to start out at the Racine Police Department, ending about 6 miles later at the Mount Pleasant Police Department, another run scheduled for Wednesday in Burlington. WRJN.com. That is our webpage. We keep our newscasts in the local news section. Also, at WRJN News, that gets you our Twitter updates throughout the day. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.